This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Amen. Well, we've been in a series, and our series has been on the Holy Spirit. How many people are getting used to saying, "Hi, Holy Spirit"? Amen. And recognizing the Holy Spirit as a person in your lives. Amen. And so, and of course, you know, thanking the Holy Spirit as often as you can when he helps you and reminds you of things. Amen. Because he will bring to your remembrance things to come. Glory to God. And so we're still in the series. And, you know, I felt, you know, led by the Holy Spirit to give you keys on increasing the anointing. And the anointing is really the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. How many people want to have more of God's power and God's presence working in their lives? I think every one of us wants more of God's power and God's presence. Amen. And so it comes by us fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Amen. And so we see here that the main function of the Holy Spirit is to have fellowship with us. But the Holy Spirit wants to, you know, anybody in here like superhero movies? Anybody like superhero movies? I like superhero movies. And they all have different powers. Amen. And Superman can fly, and he has X-ray vision, and he can, you know, and you got different powers of different superheroes. But you have power, too. You have the power of God working on the inside of your life. Do you believe that today? And God, and I'm going to say this, God has anointed each one of you, and he has given you his power and his presence to walk in every day. Amen. And sometimes I know we don't feel like it at times. Sometimes we don't feel like God's with us at times. But I'm going to say his anointing is on your life. It's on the body of Christ. Amen. Do you believe that today? So we want to focus on the anointing, God's power and his presence on our lives. And really, you know, really, how do we increase God's presence and his power? I want to know how to increase it. I don't know about you, but I want more. I want to expand my capacity to receive more from God. How many people want to expand your capacity? Because I want more from God. Amen. I got any takers in the house today? And so really, you have to look at Jesus. If you look at Jesus, you know, he was the one that was anointed, you know, and walked in the power and the presence of God every day of his life. And so if we're going to walk in God's power and his presence, his anointing, we're going to have to look at Jesus and his life. And so I'm going to give you some keys this morning that will help you move forward in the anointing of God. You ready for it this morning? Are you ready? I'm trying to get you stoked up here. Amen. The first key for you to walk in the anointing is submission. Amen. Ooh. Oh my gosh. Pastor, did you have to go there this morning? Is submission. You know, we live in America. And in America, a lot of times Americans have independent spirits. You can't tell me what to do. I'm living my life the way I want to live it. That's kind of an American philosophy, you know, land of the free, right? But when you get in God, you put down your liberties. What? When you start serving Jesus, you're not saying it's about you anymore. Oh, what, Pastor? No, you're saying it's about Jesus. Amen. You see, why don't people get saved? Have you ever thought about that? Because they don't want to submit to Jesus. Oh, they don't want to submit to God. They want to live their lives for themselves, right? They don't want to have any authority in their lives. That's why people don't get saved. They don't want God in their life. Amen. But I'm glad that we want God in our life. I'm glad you realize that you got smart. When you got smart, when you realize that you need God in your life. That's when we got smart, amen? And so we need to learn to submit. You know, when I'm thinking about Jesus, you know, Jesus went up in Luke 2:41-45, It says that Jesus and his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So they went to this feast, and Jesus was 12 years old. And after the feast finished, they went back home, but Jesus stayed behind. I think you guys know the story here. And Jesus stayed behind, and he started, you know, having conversations with the priest over there. And the parents had to come back, and it took 3 days. Could you imagine losing your children, especially Jesus, for 3 days? And they lost him for 3 days, but they found him, you know, in the temple, you know, conversing with the priests. Amen? With the Pharisees. And so he was conversing with them. And so Jesus said, you know, I must be about my Father's business. Amen. But you know, but Jesus, you know, was, you know, he was serving God, and he was honoring God. But there's something here in the passage that you got to read. It says in Luke 2:51 through 52, it says, then he went down with them, his parents, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. So even though he was there ministering to the priests, he knew he had a job to do, was to preach the word of God. He submitted himself to his parents. And I'm going to say this, if you're going to, you know, and the next verse says in verse 52, it says that Jesus grew into a, it says he grew into a man, he became strong, this is the easy translation, and understanding more and more things, God was pleased with him, and people was pleased with him too. And so Jesus submitted to his parents. If you're going to see a greater anointing in your life, you're going to have to be a person that submits to the people that God puts over you. Amen. Especially your parents. You, even though your parents, you may, you know, they might still be alive today. I still honor my mother and my father. You still should honor your parents as the best you can, as long as they're not trying to get you to do something that's not the word of God. Amen. And so when you honor God, or when you honor your parents, there's an anointing of long life. Amen. That's the promise of God. Amen. And there's a grace of long life when you honor. And Jesus honored his mother and father and went down and was subject to them. So he was subjected to earthly authority. And if you want to see the grace increase in your life, you might need to subject yourself to some earthly authorities. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And it says here what came about that was God graced him. God anointed him with wisdom. And that's the wisdom of God. Stature, he grew in manhood. And favor, he had special treatment with God the Father and people. How many people want special favor with God the Father and with people you come in contact with? Amen, you do. And so I love that. But see, when we are not submitted to God, it says that he grew in manhood. He grew in stature, which means he grew in manhood. See, baby Christians don't know how to submit to God. I'm going somewhere this morning. If you have, there's different levels of Christianity in the body of Christ. And some Christians are baby Christians. Some are adolescent Christians, and some of are adult Christians. And the baby Christians have not learned to submit to God and to authorities in their life. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? But I'm not going to be a baby Christian. I'm going to be an adult Christian. Amen. I'm going to learn to submit to God. You know, another word for submit is surrender. Ooh. Another word that you can use for submit is to surrender. Is your life surrendered? Have you surrendered not just part of your life? Have you surrendered all of your life to Jesus? Because that is really, you know, that's really the tough thing to do. Sometimes we serve God and say, God, I'm giving you all, and then we take a little bit back. Have you ever been there? God, I'm giving you all. You're on the altar Sunday morning. And then Monday night, you're doing a little sinning, right? And so, you know, you give it all to God Sunday morning, and then you take it back Monday night. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? But we need to continue to submit and to surrender to God. You know, I think about Jesus, and I think about how Jesus, you know, before he preached his awesome sermons and before he did his mighty miracles, amen, Jesus had to submit to John's ministry. John the Baptist, amen, his cousin, amen. And John the Baptist was a little older. It was his older sibling, amen. And, you know, you're supposed to honor your, you know, the older people in your life, you know. And so John had a ministry that God raised up. John was the forerunner of Jesus. He was preparing people for their hearts to be repentant, for their hearts to be right, for them to follow, you know, God. And so they were being water baptized. And then in Matthew 3, 13 through 17, we see here that Jesus came to get water baptized by John, his cousin. And then John, you know, said, you're coming to me. You should be water baptized. I shouldn't be water baptizing you. You should be water baptizing me. John knew how holy Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the holy Lamb of God. He even said it out of mouth, the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. He knew how holy Jesus was. And it was his job to submit to God. And when Jesus said, let all righteousness be fulfilled. And Jesus submitted under John's ministry. I'm going to say this. You're never going to have a ministry of your own unless you learn to submit to another man's ministry. Amen. Ooh, I'm talking to somebody today. I'm telling you, God put me in ministry. You know, and as soon as I graduated from Bible school, God sent me to back to the home church here in Virginia Beach, and he sent me to honor the pastor, Pastor Joe and Ann, who founded this church. And so he sent me back to honor, but he sent me to learn to be submissive. I didn't always agree with the pastor. I didn't always agree how they did things. I didn't always agree, but I submitted. Why did I submit? Because I knew it was God's calling on my life. If I honored the pastor, I'm really honoring God. Right? And even if I didn't agree with the pastor at times, even though the pastor may rub me wrong sometimes, I would still submit to his authority. I remember that I used to sit back. I was serving in the church. I was a youth minister, and I would sit in the back row. And the pastor says, I want you sitting up front from now on. Whoa! Oh, you mean I got to sit up front? I like sitting in the back. You know, I like being back in the back. And I want to pick my own seat. Amen. But then he said, from now on, you're sitting in the front seat. Oh, my God, that worked on my flesh. Amen. That worked on my flesh. What if I told you guys, you all, you know, took the seats away and told you guys that I'd all sit up in front? I want to look packed for the TV cameras. I don't know if you would be here next week. Amen. Amen. No, because you know where you want to sit every day, every week. Amen. You like to pick it. But then there's the rub. The rub is, are you going to submit? And so Jesus submitted to John the Baptist. And he was submitted. And what happened? The power of the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus like a dove. And the Lord said, well done, thy good. Well done. Oh, no, he said this. Well, that's another scripture. He said, I'm getting that mixed up. He said, my beloved son, who I am well pleased. Amen. So did I get it right? And so. God is pleased when we submit and when we surrender. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So here's some scriptures on submission. You ready? Buckle up. Glory to God. Submit to God, in James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, if you're having problems with the devil, amen, and you can't seem to get him out off your back, are you truly submitted to God? Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. Because submission brings the power. I'm going to say again, if you're not truly submitted to God, then you don't have the power to tell the devil where to go. Amen. And the devil will hang out and bust your chops. Do you know what I'm saying today? The devil will eat your lunch and pop your bag. Do you know what I'm saying? So you're going to have to submit to God to receive the power. No submission, no power. And he says here, because some preachers, when they're teaching on this scripture, they leave this submit to God. They just say, just resist the devil and he will flee. Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? Sometimes the devil won't flee. Why? Because we're not totally submitted to God. How come Jesus' prayers always worked? How come Jesus seemed like nothing, whatever he did always worked? Why? Because he was 100% submitted to the Father.
Amen.
That's the reason why his prayers always worked. See, listen, if you get 100% submitted, man, you can pray and there it is. You'll have instant answers to prayer. You won't have to wait 3 decades for it to come to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Your prayers will be working because you're fully submitted. Somebody say, fully submitted.
Fully submitted to God.
Here's another scripture here in Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be no benefit for you. Amen. So what is the enemy trying to do these days? Well, he's trying to get the congregation mad at the pastor and the pastor mad at the congregation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what the devil wants to do. He wants the pastor, those sheep, they're never listening. They're not following directions. You know, and then the sheep, pastor, his message was lame. You know, it didn't move me. Well, maybe because you're not walking in the fullness of submission. Amen. It's not getting me the way the messages aren't doing me like they used to. You know, well, maybe you moved out of position. Amen. Maybe the messages are still powerful, but maybe you're not as submitted as you used to be. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And then in 1 Peter 5:6, another word for submission, not just surrender, is humble, humility. And it says here that if you're going to submit, you got to be humble. There's no submission without humility. Can I get a witness in the house today? And in 1 Peter 5:6, it says it this way, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God is looking to exalt some people. God is looking to promote you. He's looking to raise you up. Do you believe that today? He's looking to bring you to the next level. You know, the devil doesn't fight you with where you're at. He fights you where you could be. That's where the devil doesn't care. He knows where you're at now. But what the devil's trying to keep you is going to that next level. Say, I'm going to the next level. I'm not going to be stuck. Amen. I'm going to the next level in God. Amen. And so that's where the devil fights us from moving to the next level. But I'm going to say this to you today. God's grace can push you into that next level.
Amen.
In other words, have you ever heard that saying, the wind is against your back? Amen. The tailwind. When airplanes fly and if the wind is with them, they get to their destination a lot quicker. And I'm going to say this, the Holy Spirit's like the wind. And if we learn to submit and to surrender and to humble ourselves before him, he will push us into that next level grace.
Amen.
How many people want to move in that next level grace? I sure do. Amen. And so I want that anointing to be in my life, the power and the presence of God. Are you ready for the next key? Are you ready for the next key? Because, you know, this key is a powerful key. And if we're going to really get the anointing on our life, Are you ready for this? We're going to learn, we're going to have to separate ourselves from people that might not have the same faith that we have, that may not have the same values that we have. We may need to separate ourselves from worldliness. Oh, Pastor, are you talking about holiness today? Without holiness, nobody will see the Lord. God is calling us to separate ourselves. Amen? And we need to learn to separate ourselves. And Jesus separated himself. When did he do that? In the scriptures, it says here that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry, and the devil put him through the temptations. And we know that God's grace allowed Jesus to overcome in the wilderness. Amen. And so we see here that this is a pattern. Before you get the power, you might need to get separate from the things of the world and separate to God. Well, how do you do that, Pastor? How do you do that? Well, you might want to maybe turn off the TV at night and turn on your Bible. What, Pastor? You're telling me that I need to read my Bible? Yes, I'm telling you, you need to start getting into the Word. Amen? You might need to get serious with God. You might need to start praying a little bit more. Being more focused on the Lord. Turn off the world and turn on God.
Amen.
Amen. Because I'm going to say this, there's worldly influences out here. Entertainment can get us all. We all love to watch the cat videos. Amen. On YouTube, don't we? And we can spend hours watching cat videos. But is that building your faith? Is that bringing you closer to Jesus? Are you separating yourself from the cat videos? Amen. Now, I'm not against these videos. I'm not against entertainment. But it all has its place. I understand there's times where we need to let down our hair, per se. Amen. There's times where we need to relax. Amen. But I want to encourage you to relax less and increase God more. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And so Jesus separated himself in the wilderness and he fasted. Sometimes you're going to have to get by yourself. Sometimes you're going to have to, when all the pressures of life come in, and they come in, don't they? And when people are doing things that you don't agree with and hurting you and all this, you're going to have to get close to God. And you're going to have to get in that place where you get refilled and refired with God. You got to get into that secret place. Am I talking to anybody today? And so there's the world, and people will take it out of you. But God will put it in you. I'm going to say it again, the world and people will take it out of you, but God will put it back in you. Jesus spent time separating himself. He would have to separate himself from the disciples, and he would pray all night long. Why? Because people can take it out of you, but God will always put it back in you.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And so I like this because we got to separate ourselves from worldliness. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 18, the Apostle Paul is exhorting the Corinthian church, and they walked in the power gifts, but there were a lot of carnal Christians in the Corinthian church. Amen. Baby Christians. And so they were some of them were mixing in with the world. They started backing back into the old lifestyle they used to live. You are redeemed from your old lifestyle. You don't live your old life anymore. You are new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You don't back up back there. I'm not going back to where I came from. I'm telling you, I burned the ships when I got saved. I'm not going back. Amen. And in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 18, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial or the devil? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are a temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Powerful. So he's saying, separate. Do not touch what is unclean. And he says, I will receive you, and I will be your father. God will become not just God the judge, but he will become God, your merciful father.
Amen.
Do you believe that today? And that's the way I want to see God. Because when we're in the darkness, we shift from God, the merciful father, to God the judge.
Amen.
And we don't want to be living under God the judge in our life. We want to be living God the merciful Father.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. And so he's saying, separate yourselves. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So have you ever heard this, birds of a feather flock together? Have you ever heard that saying? In other words, if you're hanging out with people that are ungodly, if the God in you is not big enough for the devil that's in them, they will draw you into the darkness.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. If the God in you is not bigger than the devil that's in them, they will draw you in. Now, you can be strong, and you can be with unbelievers if you know who you are in Christ, you're mature, and you have a goal to get them saved.
Amen.
Amen. That's something different because you're trying to draw them into the love of God. But if you're hanging out with them and doing what they're doing, then there's no separation between you and them.
Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And you look no different. And we're supposed to be called out ones. What does that mean? We're supposed to look different to the world.
Yes.
Amen. We're not supposed to act like the world, talk like the world, be like the world. We're supposed to be like Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? Is this a little too hard on you guys today? I mean, is this just 101 Christianity? If I'm just being honest today. So we just need to act like a Christian. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, act like a Christian. Amen. And so I love that. And in Proverbs 13:20, it says here, talking about separation, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. That's a powerful scripture right there. I like what the easy translation. I don't know if we have the easy one. You know, we don't have the easy one, but I'm going to read you the easy translation. Amen. That's for people that like to read easy. Amen. It says, if you have wise people as your friends, you'll become wise yourself. But if you have foolish friends, you will hurt yourself. That's good. That's just plain, making it plain. Amen. So if we're going to walk in a greater anointing, if you're going to have the power and presence of God to be on you, where you see instant prayer being answered, where you see people's lives being changed because you convict them because you're in their presence. Amen. Because the anointing is so great, they want to know how to get saved. They see the glory of God on you. They saw the glory of God on Smith Wigglesworth. Remember that story? He was in a train sitting down next to a person that was a sinner. And he said, your very presence convicts me. Wow. Can we get that kind of anointing in our life where our very presence will want people to get God in their life?
Amen.
We'll want people to turn away from sin and to get the Son in their life. So if we're walking in a greater anointing, we must first submit. We must, number two, we must separate. And then this is the key for the anointing. You ready for the third key? Amen. We must learn to serve. Oh, Pastor, this is one of these messages where you're telling us that we need to grow up a little bit. Amen. Yes, you must learn to serve. To serve one another. Amen. Why does God anoint the believer? It's for service in the kingdom of God. God anoints us to serve God and to serve people. And we love that because Jesus We got to look at Jesus' pattern again in walking in anointing. Jesus walked in the anointing, and look what it says here, what the anointing caused him to do. In Luke 4, 14 and 15, it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions, and he taught in their synagogues, and he was glorified by all. So he taught and he was glorified. God, people recognized the anointing on Jesus' life. And I'm going to say this, when you're walking in the anointing and you're talking about God, people will recognize God on your life. They will recognize it. When people remember you when you used to be, has anybody ever remembered what you used to be? And now you're the new person. And they said, you have changed. You're not that wicked witch of the West anymore. You are the loving person. You have changed. You're not that piece of work that the devil worked on all your life. You have changed. God is causing each one of us to change. We all were a piece of work at one time. And God is still working on us. Amen. He's helping us pick up the pieces of our broken lives. And he's putting them back together. Do you believe that today? He's helping us pick those pieces up. And in Matthew 4:23, it says, Jesus went all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now listen to what the anointing did. He preached and teach, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. So what was the anointing for? It was for Jesus to minister. What is the anointing for? Well, it's not just for you to float your boat. Amen. It is for you, but it's for others. The anointing is for you to make a difference, not only in your life, but in the lives of the people all around you. Amen. Do you believe that today? Somebody say, it's not about me. It's about Jesus and about others. And I love this because God anointed Jesus of Nazareth in Acts 10:38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all. What does God want to do? He has anointed us to go about doing good and to go about praying for people to see healing in people's lives. I am deputizing you today. Amen. I am deputizing you to go out and pray for somebody sick. I am deputizing you today to go witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a license, not a license to kill, but a license to heal. Amen. 007. Or I'm going to call it 777. Glory to God. You have a license. Amen. It's not just the pastor that the anointing to pray for people. You have the anointing to pray for people. I hear it from you guys. You say, Pat, you come to me, and some of you guys come to me, some of you ladies come to me. I prayed for somebody. They got healed. They got delivered. I said, man, you're doing the kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Doing the kingdom business. Amen? So what did Jesus say to his disciples? In Mark 1:16 through 18, it says, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into a sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Glory to God. So God anoints us to bring more people into the kingdom of God. You are anointed. The anointing is for your appointment. I'm going to say it again. Your anointing is for the appointment that God has. And God has an appointment for each one of you. Amen. Do you believe that today? There's no little I's and big U's in the kingdom of God. Amen? Everybody counts in the kingdom of God. So sometimes when we're serving God, and we're serving God, I have done this in the past because I've been serving God for a long time, glory to God. And sometimes we will serve God out of obligation. Have you ever served God out of obligation? In other words, it's like, I better read my Bible or the devil's going to hit me. The devil's going to take advantage of me. I better pray or else. Kind of the or else. I got to do it. It's just something I have to do. And we do it out of obligation or out of law. You don't want to serve God just out of obligation and out of law. You want to serve God out of passion and love. I'm going to say it again. You don't want to come to church. Well, okay, I'm going to come to church because if I don't, I know the devil's going to attack me this week. So, you know, no. You're coming to church because you love God. You're coming to church because you love Jesus. You're watching online because you want more Jesus in your life. Amen. You're not doing it out of obligation. And sometimes we can fall back and we can do it just out of obligation. Oh, well, you know, I'm on the list. I got to do it. But that's not going to increase the anointing on your life. I like what it says in Isaiah 1, 18 and 19. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What's he saying here? He's saying that you can change from a legalistic faith system to a love faith system. We don't serve God out of legalism. We serve God out of love. Okay. Thank you for that one. Amen. Amen. We don't serve God out of legalism. We serve God out of, I got my one amen lady here. Amen. Glory. So I said, well, I just come to church because I better come to church. No, you get to come to church. You don't got to go. I got to go to church. My list is on the name of helpers, you know. No, you get to go to church. You get to serve God. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Why? Because God will put that anointing on you. He'll put that gift of wisdom, and he will grow you up, and he will give you favor, and he will give you that grace that you need. Amen? And it says here that if you are willing, the next verse, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen. And so when we're serving God, we serve God. You got to check your heart. Is it a willing heart? Do you have a willing heart out of your obedience? Because if you are fighting the call of God on your life, the grace of God will wane in your life. But you can't be fighting God and have the grace of God be multiplied in your life. You got to work with God. Amen. Somebody say, work with God. So we got to work with God. Amen. To get that greater anointing, amen? And so a greater anointing is to the process of submitting, separating, serving, which will bring that greater anointing. And you know what that will bring? The blessing of significance. The blessing of significance. I don't know about you, but I want my life to count. I don't want my life to be wasted down here. I don't want to live my life for myself. I want to live my life for Jesus. I want to make sure that I don't waste my life. I want my life to have significance. Amen.
Glory to God.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And I'm telling you, that should be a goal of each one of life. We should want our life to count. We should want significance in our life. In other words, that our life should make a difference in other people's lives.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today? I want my life to count. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to throw it away. I don't want to throw it away on junk like entertainment and living for myself. No. When you received Jesus, you said, I'm following God. No turning back.
Amen.
I'm going to keep pressing in. And this life is a press-in life. You've got to keep pressing in to the things of God, because the devil is trying to draw some of us back into mediocrity, some of us back into the bad areas of our life, and we're not going to let that happen.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And when you have significance, you'll finally walk in. I'm going to get out of my seat today. You're going to finally walk in satisfaction. And I don't know about you, but I want to be satisfied.
Yes,
I want to walk in satisfaction. I want to know when I walk my days in the Lord that I please God. And if I'm satisfying God, I'm satisfied in myself. I don't have no regrets. And I'm telling you, we should not be living with regrets in our life. Oh, I wish I've done this. And I wish I've done that. No, you can start doing it today. You can start moving into the things of God today. Let go of the past regrets and start moving in the future that God has for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And you'll be, there's a lot of unsatisfied Christians in the Christian world. They're just unsatisfied. And you'll find if you look at their life, they're living their lives for themselves. They're not really living for Jesus. Jesus is the escape to hell card for them. They're serving themselves. But I'm telling you, we got to grow up. We got to stop serving ourselves and start serving the Master. Start serving Jesus. Submit to Him, glory to God. Separate to Him, glory to God. Serve Him, hallelujah. Get some significance in your life and your life will be totally satisfied. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your mercies and Your goodness and Your love. And I thank You that Your anointing is on every person in this church. And You have a calling for every person. Father God, there's no insignificant people in the church body. We all are important to the kingdom of God. And perhaps you're here in the audience, you may be watching or listening. Maybe you haven't bowed your knee to Jesus. You haven't submitted. You haven't surrendered. Well, today is the day of salvation. And I'm going to invite you to submit and surrender your life to Jesus today by confessing Jesus as your Lord. Just pray this simple prayer and mean your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church online. But also, if you're here locally in the area, we'd love for you to come out and be part of Exceed Life Church body and be a part of the church body. If you're not here locally and you're in another state, then find a good church home that will help you grow and be all that God's called you to be.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.